In the summer of 1971, I was visiting with a friend, or had gone with a friend to visit somebody else in the town of Banner Elk, North Carolina. Little town up in the Tri-Cities area between North Carolina and Tennessee. We had flown into the Tri-Cities Airport at Johnson City, Tennessee. As we were leaving that area and heading back to Tampa, we were hurriedly driving from Banner Elk, left a little later than we should have, hurriedly driving back to the airport, got out of the car, the person dropping us off. We ran into the airport, sprinted to the counter, announced where we were flying, and asked the girl where the plane going to Tampa was. And it was a small airport and a lot of glass where we were standing. She kind of leaned down and she went, "It's right there." It had left without us. Not that it was a big concern to them, I'm sure, but they had left without us. We missed that plane. It didn't really cost us much. It cost us another day in Banner Elk, another trip back to the airport. But we didn't miss anything really great in life. There have been other times where I have missed planes or missed something, but usually the consequence of that is not severe. We're going to take just a few moments this morning to talk about how critically important it is if what we miss is God. And Genesis chapter 16, if you want to be turning there, Genesis chapter 16, a story that's very familiar to us. It's the story of Abram and Sarai and some of the things that went on in their life. But I think there are some interesting things there. Not new lessons would be my guess, and not profound lessons, but lessons that we need to understand and make application of regarding the idea of ways that we might miss God and God's plan for us in our lives. Great to be here this morning. We thank everybody for being here. Great to look out and see the full house that we see. We have numerous visitors that some of you I have already met. Certainly thankful for that. Great to have Paige's parents here visiting. And is it Kit? Is that right? Stan's friend Kit. Good to have them. A great benefit for us and a great joy to have our good friends Jake and Vicki Miller, who have come from Kansas City to be in this area and visit with us. We're certainly thankful for that. If we haven't had the chance to meet you, I hope I get a chance to afterwards. We are thankful that you're here. We hope that we will see God glorified, and already have, in the things that we've done, the things that we've said together this morning, the songs that we've sung, all of that. Bringing glory to God. I just want to say real quickly, the meeting that was announced that we're having at the Activity Center, there are some small flyers for that that are on the table out in the foyer. If you want to pick some of those up, if you have somebody you want to share those with, we'll also have these at the market day to pass out to the people that are there. But it's got all four lesson titles in there. The first two, which are on Saturday evening, are dealing with unlocking your marriage to each other and locking your marriage to the world. It's two lessons with a short break in between on Saturday evening. And then two lessons on Sunday here, if the Lord permits us to meet for all of those times. The first one, I would encourage you strongly to have, that's at Bible class time, have all of the young people, if you have children who especially are from about adolescent age up or junior high age up especially, make sure you're here for that class. And not only that, I would encourage you to have them, all those kids sitting down in these first couple rows or so. It's a very visual, up close, visual lesson to talk about the importance of the choices that kids make. And then Sunday, at the regular sermon time, we're dealing with how do you raise pure kids? How do you raise G-rated kids in an R-rated world, which is certainly giving the benefit of the doubt to our world? It's far exceeded R-rated. But how do you raise kids? How do Christians raise children in that environment? And how do we become successful at that? What are the things that we need to do? We hope that you can be here for any or all of those lessons. You may want to mark yourself there at Genesis chapter 15 for just a moment, or Genesis chapter 16 for just a moment. I want to read a passage out of Jeremiah first. In Jeremiah chapter 29, where God is talking to his people, and he's talking about Babylon and the captivity that they would be enduring there in Babylon, and he's talking about their return from that. I love what he says to them in the sense of, In verse 8, he starts with, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the plans that I have towards you." Some say, "I know the thoughts," but same idea. He's saying, I know what I have lined out for you, God says. He says, and it's good things. He says that they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The idea is, what if I miss a plane? No big deal, probably. But what if I miss God's plan for me? How do I do that? I mean, God has a plan, I think, for all of us. And I don't mean by that that the scriptures are going to help you decipher exactly every step in every direction. But I think God has an overall plan for all his people, what he expects for them. And he wants us to understand that if he's got a plan for us, what kind of things are going to cause me to miss the plan? And I think the story of Abram and Sarai is a great story to give us an idea of some ways. We're just going to look at three of them in these first few verses of chapter 16. Three ways that they missed God in this picture. Three ways that they missed the plan that God had for them. And we want to make sure that we do not do the same thing. The psalmist said on many occasions, or spoke on many occasions, different psalmists even, spoke on different occasions about the plans that God has and God's thoughts for us and the direction that God has for us. What if we miss that? I mean, don't you feel badly if you ever think, you know what, there was a direction or a step or an opportunity that I think God had presented me and I missed that for whatever reason. Maybe I was just distracted and didn't see the opportunity. Maybe I was in a hurry or frenzied and I didn't take the opportunity. Whatever the case may be, God, I think, says, I want to accomplish something through your life. And whatever that is for you and whatever that is for me, he has great things he can do through any of us if we will submit ourselves to him. So in Genesis chapter 16, as we read that story, we're just going to look at the first five verses. And Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. And so Sarai said to Abram, "See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." I just want to take just a few moments to look at three points, as I said, the idea of things that we need to keep in mind regarding what they did or how they missed God. First, I think one of the ways that we'll miss God's plan for our life is when we underestimate God's power or his ability to do the unbelievable in our minds. I think that's exactly where they were. There's a tendency sometimes for us to examine the facts. And when we examine the facts, sometimes we miss the point. And so you can almost picture and think in terms of Sarai's understanding. She was barren, and she even, in this verse, she's saying, "The Lord has restrained me." But this is post what event? Do you remember? This is post the promise of God. God has told them that he's going to take care of this, and that he's going to give them a son, and that through this son, all the nations of the entire earth are going to be blessed. This is going to be the very lineage that is going to bring about the salvation for all the world who chooses to follow. The promise had been made. But when you start examining the facts, and she says, "Well, yeah, but look at me, I'm restrained." And you remember, even when the promise was made, it was difficult to understand or to believe, because past the childbearing age, not only am I barren, How am I going to have a child at this age? I mean, here's the facts of the situation. Here's my age. You know what? It just doesn't work this way. And so that makes it difficult to believe. Abram himself, and she understood, here's another fact. He's not young either. He's old. It's going to be very difficult for us to even think in terms of conceiving children. So you start evaluating the facts of the situation. It's been 10 years. I mean, I know God made the promise, but it's already been 10 years. I was past childbearing age before, but we've been 10 years in the land of Canaan. What am I going to do now? How is it that this is even going to come about? Think how easy it is sometimes for us to not think in terms of God's ability or God's power rather than in ours. Have you ever had a situation in your life where you have been very frustrated because of it not coming about, something that you wanted, but it really wasn't coming about the way that you wanted it to? Or this becomes very much a timing issue as well. This has been 10 whole years. What is it that we're going to do? I think God says, you know what? If you want to see the plan of God unfold in your life, don't give up hope. If it's something that God has promised, if it's something that God desires, God can bring that about. And he says, we need to believe that he can do that. My mother was baptized, if I recall correctly and doing my math correctly, she was baptized 20 years after I was baptized. 20 years. And I'm telling you, for the first probably 12 or 15 of those years, we shared many tears together. We talked and we pleaded with my mother to give her life to the Lord, and we repeatedly. And there comes a time where you start looking at the facts of life and say, you know what, this just isn't going to happen. We've done everything we can. And there came a time where I stopped pleading as hard. And you start thinking in terms of, it's not that I don't wish my mom would respond to the Lord. It just wasn't happening. And then she did. God says, don't give up hope if you want to see God work. Don't give up hope. You have somebody that you're praying for, somebody you're thinking about that you want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then don't give up hope. You know somebody that is having great difficulty in life. You know a child that is wayfaring, has become prodigal, has walked. Don't give up hope. God is saying, I know it looks like it can't happen, but if you underestimate the power of God, you won't get to see sometimes the fulfillment of the incredible plan of God. And sometimes we do that. We underestimate it. And so because of that, it kind of takes us into the second problem that she is dealing with and that we sometimes deal with. When we underestimate the power of God, what do? Take things into our own hands. And we decide, you know what, I need to take care of this. I need to be the one who brings this about. I know God has made a promise, but that's exactly what she did. So, Sarai, it says. She hadn't born any children. So, she said to Abram, the Lord has restrained me. Go in to my handmaid. Somehow or another, we get convinced, because it's not happening, God needs my assistance in this. God needs my help. I need to get involved at a different level than just believing the promise that he has given me. And so instead, I need to take these things into my own hands, and I need to operate. And that's exactly what she did. She said, you know what? It's not working, Abram. Look at the facts. I'm old. You're old. It's not working. Before it gets any older, it's already been 10 years in this land of Canaan. You need to take my maid, Hagar. Maybe that's what God meant. Is that what God said? I would tell you, God says what he means. It's not up to us to determine. Well, I know that God said, here's what I'm going to do, but it's not working out the way I'm thinking, and so maybe he needs my assistance in that. You know, one of the great lessons that I can learn, or anybody else can learn, God wants me deeply, but does not need me in order for his plan to be carried out. He doesn't. He doesn't need my help. It's not that God is in need. He wants me to be a part of that. He wants me to share in all that glory with him. But God, if I turn my back on God today and never preach another word, I assure you he can get his word delivered to the people. I understand that. I don't preach and I don't give and I don't serve because God needs me to do those things. I do those things because I need those things. I need to submit to him because the blessings are for me. That's what he was saying to me. When Jesus is saying, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he wants us to understand. He wants me to do what he's asking me to do, not because he needs me to do it. I need to do it. And sometimes we just kind of take things into our own hands. We have difficult. God's timing was 14 years for Sarah. 14 years. Her timing was 10. Sometimes we resist. God hasn't done it yet, so I better do something myself. Moses wanted the deliverance of his people, but he wanted it differently than God did, didn't he? Moses slew an Egyptian, murdered an Egyptian, and thought the people of God would follow him, but God's timing was 40 years later to deliver the people. It's difficult sometimes to wait on God. We want him to execute things the way and in the timing that we want and for the reasons that we want. I don't know why he waits sometimes. Maybe he waits so that he can prepare me. Maybe he's trying to change me and do something different with me. Maybe he knows that I need to have alterations in my life in order to be equipped to deal with what lies ahead. Maybe he needs me to work on something. Maybe he's delaying because he wants me to get a focus on my weakness. Maybe he has me delay just so I can understand the nature of my lack of patience in him. And he needs me to work on that patience, and he's going to make me wait on those things. Maybe he needs to strengthen my faith. One of the things that was brought up in class this morning I think is such a benefit as well. Maybe he needs somebody else to benefit from watching what's happening to me. Maybe that's what he needs. Wouldn't I want to be a servant to God and help somebody else in that respect? But it's difficult. Sometimes we take it into our hands because it's not happening the way we want or the timing that we want. And I'm going to miss God's plan if I think I have to take over my life. I'm going to miss his plan for me. I can assure you, without even questioning my mind, God's plans and purposes for me in this life are far greater than any purposes or plans that I could devise for myself. Amen? God has great purposes, great thoughts. His thoughts aren't even like our thoughts. He wants us to grasp that he has things for my life that way. Well, that isn't the only thing that she did. How'd Abram get involved? Let somebody else talk him into something. You know, I'm just telling you, I know I have missed some good things in life because I've let somebody else talk me into doing something that was not what was best for me. Have you ever been there? She told Abram, and Abram heeded. The fault goes both directions, doesn't it? It's like back in the garden again, isn't it? Eve took. But even after she took of that fruit, did Adam have to take? Couldn't he have stood up for himself and said, no, you made a major mistake. God said, don't do that. But he listened to her. We listen to somebody else. You want a staggering figure to think about, even though I don't know what the figure is. Just think in terms of the largeness of the number. How many people right now today are in jail or prison somewhere because they listened to somebody else and were convinced to do something that in their own mind they thought was not the best thing to do? I mean, the jails are probably full of people that meet that description, aren't they? Abram heeded. I'm going to miss God's plan if I start listening to people telling me what to do rather than listening to God tell me what to do. He says, you need to listen to what I say to you. And so you have people who are saying, you know what, we can take care of that later. You can go to church next week. Read your Bible later. Whatever the case may be. Let somebody else help that person. Think of the things that sometimes God may have had glorious things for me. Things that I could have learned, lessons I could have learned, great blessings I could have received. But maybe I listened to the wrong voice. That causes us to take actions without thinking in terms of consequence. How'd that work out for Abram and Sarai? I mean, they got involved in the plan of God rather than just listening and taking the promise of God at what he had said. They got involved. He gets talked into doing something. She talks him into doing something. And then Hagar ends up conceiving, and now she's going to have a child. And Hagar says, Sarah, I have to thank you so much. That was such a wonderful thing. May we ever be close because of this sharing together. Now, she hated her. She hated her. Why? Because now I've got the child. You don't have the child. I should be the one who's honored here. The thing went the entire wrong direction. It says she despised her. And then what happens? When you get talked into something, then you blame the person you talked into it. That just seems backwards. Abram should have been said, I knew I should have never listened to you. And she says, you know what? This is your fault. We miss the plan of God because when we get involved, we start thinking in terms of not taking responsibility for what I've done. One of the great statements, you want to talk about David being a man after God's own heart. You don't feel that when you're hearing the story that Nathan tells him about stealing a lamb from a guy who only had one. And the man who stole the lamb had every lamb he could possibly imagine and had great riches and everything else. But you want to see a man after God's own heart, it happens after Nathan says, you're the man in the story. Because then David took personal responsibility. He didn't take it before then. Great sin, but then he takes responsibility. And that's what it takes. I'm going to miss the plan of God if I don't acknowledge my involvement when I miss the plan. This is my fault, God. I didn't do what you told me to do. I didn't listen to your word. I listened to the words of others instead. I didn't think about the consequences that were involved. I am responsible for where I presently stand with God. That is a true statement every moment, every day. I'm responsible. That's just as true for you. You are responsible for wherever you stand with God. You can miss the plan. Miss the plan of God by forgetting who he is and how powerful he is and what he can do. That's why he used descriptions of like throwing mountains into the sea. Do I understand who is on my side? I need to believe in the power of God. And though I may think it can't happen, though the facts that have been established around me may be leading me to believe it's not going to happen, God says you better start believing in me first because it can happen, whether we think it can or not. That's why Paul told the Ephesians he could do what? God? Exceedingly. Abundantly. I love that. It means just like you talk about superfluous statements. It's like exceedingly, abundantly above. Whatever you ask, God says, or I'm telling you, whatever you can even dream of. You can't think of anything greater than I can do. I love that about my God. He says, believe in his power. Believe in his power. Let him work it out. Just submit. Don't feel you have to take it into your own hands. Take responsibility for who you are and what you do. If you're not a Christian, I would tell you that's what you need to do today. You have to take responsibility for who you are, where you are. If you're not right with God, if you are a Christian and struggling and straying from God, you have to take responsibility for that and make that right with him. you've never put on Jesus Christ, never clothed yourself or wrapped yourself in Jesus, as Paul told the Galatians. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We pray that you'd do that today. If you believe that he's the Son of God and you're willing to turn your back on your past life so that you can walk toward Jesus, that's the very nature of repentance. I want to walk for him, his will, not my will, and submit and be born again and raised in newness of life, like Paul told the Romans, so that I can present myself as a slave of righteousness and following God. We'd love to help you do that. If you've never read or understood that, let us talk to you. We'd love to share his word with you and what he says. We can help you today. Let us know while we stand, while we sing.